Well, I wonder if any of the children can tell me the highest mountain in the world. Does anyone know what the highest mountain is? Mount Everest. Well done. And what I want us to think about to start with is to imagine you're walking in the Himalayas. That's where Mount Everest is. And you're trekking through the foothills. If we put the picture up. Jamie? Imagine we're walking through the hills of the Himalayas. And you're there, and you've got your mountains behind you, and all these great peaks. Well, people say that is what it's like to walk through the Bible. You've got all these fantastic, amazing peaks, all these great things to look at. You've got K2 and Annapurna and Nanga Parbat and all these great mountains. But standing highest among them all, right there in the middle, is Mount Everest. And they say that like the walking through the Bible is a bit like that. There's loads of great big summits, big mountains, great truths to discover. But they say that Romans is like the Mount Everest, if you like. That's the one that stands higher than all the others. The place where you see the gospel, God's good news of love that he's shown us in Jesus Christ, seen most clearly. And if you want to say that, then Romans 8 that we're going to be looking at now is like the summit of Mount Everest. So you've got Mount Everest, and there right at the top is a summit, and that's Romans 8. The greatest passage in the greatest book. And verse 1 of Romans 8 is like the highest point, the highest rock on the summit of Mount Everest. Okay? Where the place where you plant your flag and you say, yes. That is Romans 8. One. Just look down with it. Keep your Bibles open if you've got one. And because this is a wonderful verse. Great one to memorize. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're going to answer three questions, okay, about that verse. What does condemnation mean? Because we may be scratching our heads and thinking, it's a bit of a long word, don't quite know what that means. Why are we condemned? And why is there now no condemnation? So firstly, what does condemnation mean? I don't know. Well, I hope I do now. You don't know. But you will know in a minute. Okay, because condemned means to be punished with death. So you've done something wrong. The judge finds you guilty and he condemns you to death. So to help us get an idea, here's a little clip from Robin Hood to help us to see what it means.
Name you the winner. Or more appropriately, the loser. I sentence you to sudden, instant, and even immediate death.
Oh, no. Oh. Please. Please, sire. I beg of you to spare his life. Please have mercy.
My dear emotional lady, why should I?
Because I love him, your highness.
Love him? And does this prisoner return your love?
Marion, my darling, I love you more than life itself.
Ah, young love, your pleas have not fallen upon a heart of stone. The traitors to the crown must die.
Traitor to the crown? That crown belongs to King Richard.
Long live King Richard!
Long live King Richard!
Enough! I am king! 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 Off!
be condemned. So Robin Hood was condemned by King John and was sentenced to death. The next question, though, so we've seen what condemnation means. To be condemned is to be sentenced to death. But why are we condemned? If there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, that means that without Christ Jesus, we are condemned. We stand sentenced to death. Now, in this country, you're no longer able to be condemned to death. 1965, they abolished the capital punishment, apart from for treason. But 200 years ago, you could be condemned to death for lots of crimes. So we're going to have a little test to see kind of things that you can be condemned for. Okay? So, if you think these are true, then you put your hand up. If you think it's false, keep your hand down. So, could you be condemned for death for being a pirate? What do you think? Is it true that you could be condemned for being a pirate? Okay, some people say yes, some people say no. Well, it depends what kind of pirate you are. If you're a very polite pirate, then it's okay. But if you were a violent pirate, then you could be condemned. So you're condemned for piracy with violence. What about pickpocketing? Could you be condemned for taking something out of someone else's pocket? What do you think? If you think it's true that you could be condemned for that, put your hand up. If you think not, then keep your hand down. Well, true it is. You could be condemned to death for pickpocketing as long as it was over 12 pence. So if what you stole was worth more than 12 pence, then you could be condemned. What about this one? This is an interesting one, isn't it? Being in the company of gypsies for over a month. A gypsy is a kind of travelling person. Could you be condemned for that? True. If you think it's true, put your hand up. It is true. You could be condemned for being in the company of gypsies for a month. What about wearing boot polish on your face? Covering your face in boot polish. Who thinks you could be condemned for that? Only Noah. It is true. You can be condemned. You were condemned to death if you were found blackening your face at night or wearing a disguise while committing a crime. So there's a lesson for you. And finally, damaging Westminster Bridge. So if you went down and drew graffiti on Westminster Bridge, could you be condemned for that? If you think it's true, put your hand up. If you think it's false, keep your hand down. It is true. Yeah, you could be. So there was lots of things that you could be condemned for back then. But why does Paul say that we were condemned? Well, he's thinking of a far more serious crime than those things. Because he says that we are condemned for treason. For treason. For saying, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. For what we call sin. For saying to God, I don't want you to be the boss, I want to be the boss instead. That's what we're condemned for. The crime that we are all guilty for and stand condemned. See, it says in the passage, verse 2, it speaks of it as being under the law of sin and death. So sin is ruling over us. He's the one in charge. He's the one calling the shots. And that has been the case all the way through. So we saw, haven't we, how there's two different kingdoms. Well, everyone in Adam's kingdom is a rebel. We've all followed Adam. Because Adam in the Garden of Eden, what did he do? God gave him a command and he said, no, I'm not going to listen to you. He decided to eat the fruit. And in doing so, brought death on us all. And we do the same. We all follow Adam. We all turn our backs on God, say, shove off, God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. And now God gave the law, didn't he, to do something about that. He gave us the law, but as we saw last week, the law doesn't help us. The adults will know that. It only makes things worse. So when the law comes, it just tells us that what we're doing is wrong. So that we know that when we say, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules, that God doesn't want that, doesn't like that. So verse 3, what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, it says. You see, the law could not save us. It could not stop us. But instead, all it does is it shows us that we are like Adam, that we do sin, and that we do deserve death. It's a bit like putting boot polish on your face. You wouldn't think that was a crime, would you? Until someone came and showed you the law. And when they show you the law, and it says you must not blacken your face at night, then you know that what you've done is wrong and deserving of death. That's why we're condemned, because we've all turned our backs on God. We've chosen to follow sin, and the law, instead of helping us, condemns us. Well, I thought it would be good to try and act that out, to have our own real life court drama, to be able to see this at work. So I'm going to need, first of all, a judge. So we've got my judge. Who's my judge? There we go. So we've got the Right Honourable Noah, and he's going to come and sit over here. Put your judge's gown on. There we go. It hasn't got two, well, because you've got two arms, yeah. Okay, you've got your gavel there to declare them guilty. Right, now we need someone to represent all of us who is going to stand in the dock. Now, I could look for someone who looks particularly guilty out there, but I've already asked Chloe. So, Chloe, you're going to be our guilty person, aren't you? So, come on, you come up and stand here. So, you need to stand here over here looking out, looking very sorry for yourself. Okay, so we have our judge, God, who we're all going to meet at the end of time. We have us in the dock. So now we need our first witness to come and come to us. So can we have our first witness, Sin, come? So you come and take the stand. Now, Sin. Do you know this person in the dock?
Yes, she works for me.
What kind of things does she do for you, Sin?
Well, she doesn't love God or listen to him or follow his laws.
That's a big accusation. How can you prove that? How do you know that?
Well, she lies. She gets jealous of what others have. She disobeys her parents. She doesn't love others like themselves.
Well, I put it to you, Sin, that you are the one to blame, that you made her do it.
No, she's the one that did these things. She's the one who's guilty. She is the one who's condemned. Just ask the law.
Well, we will do that. No further questions for you. You take a seat for the moment. And so, we need to call law into the witness box now. So, law, take the stand. Hopefully you can help this poor lady in the dock. So I ask the same question. Law, do you know this person?
Yes, I do.
How do you know this person?
Well, I tried to help her. I tried to give her some rules that would help obey God.
And did that help?
No, that only made matters worse.
Go on, why was that?
Well, I told her to stop doing these things and then she would be condemned.
And did she stop?
No, She just kept doing them. There was nothing I could do to stop her. I really tried.
But now that you gave that law, she must be punished, is that right?
Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't my fault. I only wanted to help her. It was his fault. Oh, where is it? Oh, it's there. Sorry. It was his fault. He's the one who should be punished.
But you came and gave the law. You told her that if she didn't keep it, she didn't love God with all her heart and love her neighbour as herself, then she would be condemned, didn't you?
Yes, but I didn't mean it to end this way.
Thank you, Your Honour. No further questions. Oh, right. We'll have to come back to the second half of that in a minute. Do take a seat. Condemned one, you're on death row for a few moments. You may take a seat as well. So do you see how we all stand condemned? Sin is at work in our flesh, causing us to sin, to rebel against God. And the law is helpless to stop us. In fact, it's the reason that we must be punished. But wonderfully, that's not the end of the story. That's a very deep valley. And we're wanting to find the biggest peak. Okay, so we're going to come back and hear the good news in a few moments. But before that, we're going to sing of the good news as we sing "This is the Gospel." So let's stand and sing. So we've seen what it means to be condemned. We've seen how... why we are all condemned, why we all deserve death, because of our sin and death's punishment for that. And we're going to now pick up our drama, so we're going to need and find out why there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So can we have our judge back? Can we have our accused back? And now, sadly, she is condemned. Here we go. Try and stick that over your head. There we go. There we go. But just at this point, someone bursts in from the back of the courtroom.
Wait,
stop.
You cannot condemn this man. You must release him. He's coming with me.
Judge.
Oh, wait a minute. This is highly improper. You can't just come in here and take away the prisoner. He's just been condemned to death. See?
But the punishment has already been paid.
Oh, over your glasses. There we go. So you go over there.
Jesus has already been condemned to death.
No, that's not fair. He's guilty. He deserves to die.
Sin is right. He is guilty and should be condemned.
Can't punish someone twice, and the death has already happened on the cross. Actually, it is those two who should be condemned and die.
You are right. Death has occurred. The price has been paid, so the prisoner is free to go.
Oh.
Arrest those men and women.
Great. Let's give them all a round of applause. So, are you beginning to see why there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus? Because Jesus has already been condemned. Jesus has already died and taken our place. If you look through these verses, you see how central Jesus is. That it's those who are in Christ Jesus for whom there's no condemnation. That it's through Christ Jesus that the law of the Spirit gives life to who gives life to set us free. And the reason is because of verse 3. Look down at verse 3, the second half. How did God do this? Well, God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. He says, when Jesus dies on the cross, he dies in our place. And all those who are in Christ, remember that picture of the piece of paper in the book? If you're in Christ, then what's happened to Christ has happened to us. And so that we too have died. The price has been paid. The punishment for sin has been paid. The condemnation that the law brings, it says, no, you're guilty, you must die, has been paid. It's been dealt with. It's been taken. So that now we can, as it says in verse 2, we have been set free. So that we can no longer fear that death sentence hanging over us. We've been taken off death row and we've been made alive through the Spirit who gives life. So that we can live a new life. Look at verse 4. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We're going to find out more about that next week. But you see how when the Spirit comes, when we're given life through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be free to live new lives. So we have that choice. We can either stand in the dock ourselves and take that death sentence, death now and death for eternity. Or we can accept Jesus who comes and takes it in our place, who sets us free to live new lives. And as I finish, I think that means three things for us. If we know that there is now no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus, that means three things. Firstly, it means we should rejoice, shouldn't it? Actually, if we know that condemnation has been taken, imagine if you were on death row, okay? You'd been found guilty, it was bang to rights, you knew you deserved to be there. And yet, someone comes and says, no, you're free to go. You're free to go and live a new life. The price has already been paid. As that cell door opens, as you walk out of the prison, you'd be rejoicing, wouldn't you? It's the greatest joy in the world. So we'd rejoice. Second, we'd have confidence. You see, if Jesus has already been condemned for us, if that price has already been paid, then we can know for certain that there is no more condemnation. That even when sin accuses and says, no, you're guilty. When you look at the law and you see how far you fall short of it, we can know with confidence that it's true, that there is now no condemnation for us. And finally, it means we are to live a new life. You see, if the cell door has been opened, if we've been set free, if we've been released from death row, why would we go back to the old ways of sin that brings death? Why would we not live new lives, walking in a new way with a new boss, according to the Spirit? So do you see why they're such wonderful verses, that there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus? And that means we're to rejoice, we're to have confidence, and we can live new lives in the Spirit. So let me pray for us to be able to do that. Father, we praise you and we do thank you for Jesus. We thank you for how in him there is now no condemnation, that price has been paid. And Father, please would you help us to grasp the full depth of that, so that we would be filled with joy. Please help us to have confidence when we still sin, when we still fall short. Please would you help us to know and not fear the consequences, to look to the future and to know that we can have that certain hope without fear of death. And as we go out of here, Father, please would you help us to be those who live new lives, not walking according to our old ways, but walking according to the Spirit. And would your Spirit enable us to do that today? In Jesus' name, amen.